Welcome to episode 7 of Hope Chats, and we're excited for you joining us with on Facebook or on YouTube, or potentially you're watching the recording. And we're continuing our conversation on racial reconciliation. Last week we had a great opportunity to just be able to sit down with Zoom with Bill Clark, and today our special guest is someone I know pretty well. It's my wife, Crystal Holt. Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Hey, how we doing?
I'm doing great.
So glad that you can join us. In case you're wondering, wow, they're on Zoom and not in the same place. This is normally how we do our dinners.
Yeah, it's just easier this way.
Totally kidding, by the way. It actually just worked out better in our day and with kids and life and all that stuff. So really important conversations we'll be having. But before we get to that, can we just talk about your really cool background? I just think that's amazing. I almost know all the letters now in the alphabet, and I appreciate you having that up there. Especially, I always can improve on my vocabulary. But yeah, what's the background about? I know what it is, but I'm sure there's others who are like, what's that for?
Well, welcome to my classroom. Every morning I teach for a company called VIP Kid. And essentially what I do, it's kind of like this. I do like a Zoom call, you could say, but with a PowerPoint, and I'm talking with kids, students ranging from like 4 to 12, and I'm teaching English. And so most of my students live in the Beijing area, and we talk and we learn math and pre-reading skills, and yeah, it's great. It's been a real big blessing for me. So this is why I have this background here.
It's just not just helpful for me. So, okay.
It's so you can know my name, just in case you forget.
Teacher Crystal, I have a question. That's pretty cool. And it's just neat. Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people knew that, but thanks for sharing that. So it's a joy to get to be here with Crystal. Crystal and I are not this past Tuesday, but this upcoming Tuesday will be our 8th year wedding anniversary. So that's pretty exciting. We met at Roberts Wesleyan College, and we were super awkward, or at least I was awkward. I don't know.
We were both.
Yeah, there's so many awkward. If we had more time, we could tell you some really awkward things that you would be dying laughing. Oh, maybe sometime we can just do that as like a laugh chat instead of a hope chat. But we're talking about hope, and we're going to have a conversation about that. So let's talk about racial reconciliation. We've got a couple questions for you today. So the first one is, this has been a really challenging time. Mentioned it last week, probably before that, but with the backdrop of COVID-19, which almost feels like it's like literally behind us, but it's still around us. We feel the quarantine, the difficulties, and then with the murder of George Floyd, and that just opening up a realization that there has been an ongoing problem for hundreds of years, but obviously there's a problem, and it's being brought up all around our country and even in other countries as well. So very challenging time. But in the midst of all these challenges, Crystal, do you think there's hope for us and for the church and, you know, for even this country in the midst of everything going on right now?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's been a really grievous time. And honestly, when I first learned about what happened with George Floyd, initially I had just really intense feelings of pain and grief. I mean, even just to see an image of what happened, it was just like too much for me. But I just remember asking God, like, oh God, like, is this just going to be another Black man that dies, another incident of injustice that we just kind of breeze by, you know? Like, I wondered, you know, is this going to be on the news for like a day and then we just move on to the next thing? Because, you know, this has happened before, and sometimes that does happen. And so, honestly, I have to admit, I've been very moved by the fact that really our nation and really our world has stopped, essentially, right, and paused and really lingered here. This wasn't just something that passed by and, you know, next week, oh, we forgot. We've really kind of stopped and thought about this and talked about this. I'm not saying that it hasn't been messy or it hasn't been chaotic. I'm not diminishing that, but I have really appreciated the fact that we have really slowed down and began to talk about the elephant in the room, you know, this issue that has been going on for years upon years that has been very uncomfortable to breach and to talk about. I'm so moved and thankful for the church, you know, not just our church, but the church at large has been talking about it and having helpful conversations about it. And, you know, I almost feel like we're having like a Rosa Parks moment, you know, where one person makes this, just makes the whole world stop and kind of acknowledge something is wrong and we need to recognize it. And it's almost been moving to see that we have stopped. And it's been neat. The other day I had a really neat, productive, beautiful conversation with someone in the community that I don't really know super well, and that, you know, she doesn't look like me, I don't look like her, but we have the same heart and the same grief about the situation. And I walked away like, did that just happen? Like, did I just have like such an intimate conversation with about racism and the rise of the church? Like, I don't even know this woman that well. And it really did. I feel like I'm moving from a place of grief and pain to a place of hope. And okay, God, it's messy, it's chaotic, but I see you. I see you in the midst of it all. And it's honestly been very encouraging for me. So.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing just your process of, the grief and, I'm sure a lot of our similar responses, you know, different backgrounds, but watching that video or even just seeing the picture, just shatters you. And then, then you're seeing these conversations, and it's really, you mentioned this one conversation in the community, of really hope, you know, of, glad we're talking about racism, really excited for the church to arise in this moment, to really show how God values and loves everyone and created them, and how can we do that accordingly. Thanks for sharing that about just more positive conversations about racism. At times, though, the topic of racism can be intimidating to initiate or discuss. You kind of alluded to that. Do you have any helpful tips as to how we can have positive, helpful conversations about racism? I think we might be able to come up with bad ways of having conversations, right? Or maybe we don't. Maybe we have them. But what are some tips or maybe some things that might be able to help us at this time?
Yeah, no, you're so right. It is a very intimidating conversation. It's very controversial, very tricky to navigate, very touchy. I think most people that are watching this today or will watch it, you know, we do want to have productive, helpful conversations, but at times it's like, how do we do that practically, you know, and what does that look like? And you know, emotions can get triggered and past, you know, feelings of pain or trauma. And, you know, even on last Sunday when, you know, we shared, I have to admit, I really was feeling like this internal pressure, like, oh, how do I talk about racism? I mean, it's such a complex issue that it's really infiltrated every arena of our society. It's complex. It's hard to break down and understand. It manifests so differently. And oh man, how do I describe the Black community? I mean, there's so much diversity within the Black community. I really did feel this like overwhelming intimidation of, wow, how do we breach this topic? So long story short, I do agree that it is intimidating for everyone involved on both sides, Black or white. I think a helpful tip, just a practical tip, would be coming to the table with your own research before having the conversation. So, you know, there's lots of amazing resources and books out there that talk about racism. There's some great articles on the internet. You know, not everything on the internet is great, but there are some golden articles that are really great. Maybe reading an autobiography or a biography about Black history and the incredible men and women that have contributed to our society. And, you know, that continues to happen today, of course. Just coming to the plate with a little bit of research. And then I think it's a little bit more helpful and practical to maybe come with 1 to 3 questions versus, for example, someone saying, hey, like, I'm colorblind, like, I know nothing, tell me everything, tell me your story, like, I want to hear. While I see the heart in that, I do, and I appreciate that. That's a very sincere request. But I think what might be a little bit more helpful or a little bit less overwhelming or emotionally taxing would be to say something like, hey, I've been reading this book about racism, and you know, I'm on a chapter that talks about being colorblind and why that might come off as offensive. Could you help me to understand that a little bit better? Can you help me to unpack that? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the second, you know, scenario is a little bit less intimidating, a little bit more focused, because like we said, racism is very complex.
Right. Where do you start too? Because it's not a new thing as of like 2.5 weeks ago.
Exactly. And I think it's a little bit less intimidating for everyone, a little bit less emotionally taxing, and a little bit more focused and productive. Also, I think I hear in the second conversation tones of respect, because it kind of makes me think of, like, if you go to an interview and, you know, if the interviewer is like, hey, you know, do you have any questions for me about the job? You know, and if you're like, shoot, I know nothing, like, I don't know, you tell me, do you like this job? Like, what is it like? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that would kind of give off vibes like, okay, like, are you really invested in the job? Do you care about it? Or do you care about my time? You know, and so I think with the second scenario of, hey, I've done my research, I've got a couple thoughtful questions for you, to me that shows, wow, you're invested, you really do care, you respect me, you respect my input, you know, you respect my time or whatever. And I think that kind of posture could really break down barriers too, if there were barriers present. So just a little helpful tip that might be helpful. Yeah.
That's great. I know we were talking, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago. I like something you said. It was like another tip that was like genuine curiosity, but just really like wanting to make friends with other people that don't look like you. I remember, and generally versus, because if we're not careful, it could turn into like more like a academic exercise or something, you know what I mean? Like help me learn about people that are hurting, or just hang out and like, I don't know, have a social distance walk with someone who's, you know what I mean? Or get a cup of coffee, or can't go to the movies. You know, like build an actual friend, versus then just learning more about, you know, from a distance or something. Is that how you phrased it? Did I phrase it right?
Absolutely. Actually, yeah, I actually have that on my mind to share too. So, yeah.
Oh, did I steal your thunder from the next question?
You read my mind, literally.
Read your mind. Okay. So I just thought it was really, I thought that was really wise what you mentioned. I was like, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who are probably wanting to learn and wanting to take a step out. And so it's new. But yet not getting stuck in just an intellectual academic, let me like go, especially if you're white, Caucasian, or whatever, I'm going to go up to a black person or in your case, you know, black, white, biracial person, like ask like, oh, you know, let's just ask all these questions. But Jesus calls us to love people, right? Like real relationships. And so not necessarily an academic pursuit, but the pursuit of a person. So anyways. Great tip. Jane Alt just commented on Facebook saying, very helpful tip. So I know you're not watching Facebook right now, Crystal, but people can give feedback. People can give feedback while we're doing this. So awesome. Any other tips before I ask another question?
Yeah, you know, exactly. You kind of read my mind with what you were saying. If I could, this topic, you know, what you're talking about, it kind of reminds me of when I taught at SUNY Canton. So I used to work as a nurse for a few years in the hospital scene. And then when I moved here, I taught as a nursing instructor at SUNY Canton. And I used to teach lecture and lab and clinical. And bear with me, I'm getting to a point here.
Oh, no, go. Believe me, I'm a preacher, so I make long-winded points.
It all connects. Yeah, right? Yeah. You're like, you've got hours, go.
You got at least 15 more minutes to make the point, so keep going.
Right, I'm going to get to it. But yeah, so what was expected of the students is, you know, before lecture, I would have, you know, reading assignments for them, and they were expected to come to class with the, you know, assignments read, you know, the reading read, and some thoughtful questions, and then, you know, I would teach lab and lecture, and we would have, you know, meaningful conversation, you know, about what they read, maybe do some group work. In lab, we would do, you know, simulations or basically like pretend scenarios of patients that have different disease processes. And then in clinical, that was like the real life, real hospital, real patients, you know, caring for real people. And I see, as a teacher, I see a lot of parallels in this topic. Mm-hmm. And when I taught, I kind of see like the pre-reading, you know, doing your homework before class. That's kind of like when a person says, all right, I'm going to read a book about racism, or, I'm going to look online and see if I can find some really good articles, or I'm going to read a biography about Black history. That's like the pre-reading. Then the lecture lab component is kind of like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk. I'm going to do it. I'm going to just talk about racism. I'm going to ask some focused questions. I'm going to have some, you know, a productive conversation. And then the clinical component is kind of like us just hanging out, you know, real nice. Life, just making friends, just doing life together. And, you know, as a teacher and when I was a student as well, I would say all the different types of the learning process, you know, the reading, the lecture, the lab, the clinical, they're all important. They all build on each other. They're all essential. Yeah. But where did I see the most effective learning going on, the most understanding, especially for adults? Definitely with the hands-on learning, absolutely hands down. As a student myself, where did all the neuro connections happen? It was always at clinical, because you're dealing with real life, organic, spontaneous situations, and it just makes more sense. It's natural. And I think there's a lot of parallels with race. You know, we can read and we can have helpful conversations, and that's important. And that is, and that builds, and it helps us to understand. But where is the most learning or understanding happening? Just in life, just in sitting at a campfire and talking about your day, or you know, going on a walk together, like you said, or, you know, it's just in the ordinary.
Yeah.
I think that's where we really can understand each other the most. So, yeah, I hope that made sense.
No, that makes, I mean, it's brilliant. I just love how you just broke that down from I mean, you're an amazing teacher, obviously, but how you just broke that down from, you know, pre-reading to doing the lab clinical, you know, to actually getting out there and doing that in classroom setting, and how they're all helpful, but actually doing life together, actually making it happen. So,
yeah,
I love how you broke that down. That's excellent.
Thank you.
Next question I want to ask is, are there other ways we can grow and understand the Black community better?
We just did that one.
You know, if you're listening better than I am, then you would probably know that we're moving on to question 4. Sorry, that was the wrong question to read. What I meant to say, for those who maybe are struggling like myself, is there a scripture you can share that has been speaking to you in light of this topic? I even like this question better than the other one I asked, so this is great.
Yeah. I love you. Oh my gosh.
I love you too.
Oh man. Yes, absolutely. I've been actually reading through 1 Corinthians, and it's neat, you know. I've read through 1 Corinthians before, but in light of everything that's happening, it's like I'm almost seeing the scriptures in a new way. That's why I love the Bible. It's like it's the living word of God. Like every time you read it, God speaks in a new, amazing way. So basically, I got to the love chapter, the famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And man, I just felt like God was like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. Actually, do you mind if I just read the first few verses of it? 1 Corinthians 13?
You can do whatever you want. Yeah. I'm just asking a question and sometimes twice. So go for it.
You're doing great. Okay. So it starts out saying, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I'm going to keep reading, but wow.
Yeah. Yes.
The perspective of that, like, I'm sorry, but like, if I were like prophesying and like moving a mountain, like with my faith, I'd be feeling pretty good about myself.
Yeah.
You know? But God says, if in my heart, if I have hate or if I'm being unloving to others, it's nothing. It means literally nothing to him. Like, wow. How the perspective of how great he deems loving others, it's beyond what in the world we usually deem as superior. You know, it's like, man, that guy can really preach. I mean, he's kind of a jerk, but he really can preach. You know, he's really something to God. He's like, no. Mm. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. No.
That alone is wow. And then it goes on. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud.
Yeah.
Ooh, proud. Pride. I mean, right there alone.
Right.
That could be a whole series on pride. I mean, those feelings of superiority or, you know, judgment. I mean, I think a lot of racism comes out of that. I mean, I struggle with that too, the whole superiority thing. I mean, wow, it is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Oh, it keeps no record of wrongs.
Wow.
Let me receive that, Lord. Where was I? Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Wow.
I read that, and it was like God was saying, this should be our guide. This should be our guide in the topic of loving others, and not just in black and white. I mean, let's broaden this to the ethnos, you know, the nations, you know, rich and poor and young and old, and all people of socioeconomic statuses, our friends, you know, with disabilities, you know, anyone that's different or similar to us. This should be our guide as to how we love. And man, I was thinking about it. I was actually listening to the song. Well, we were listening to the song this morning. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Yeah.
And I just felt like God was saying, like, we should really be setting the standard of love as Christians, because we're the only ones that are able to really love, like 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, I can't do that in the flesh. Like, that's a supernatural Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Kind of love. You know, and as Christians, if this is only, I'm only able to do that with the power of the Holy Spirit, we should really be setting the tone of what love is and what it looks like to love people that are different from us, you know, what it looks like to push past racism and superiority and judgment and just love and accept people. I just felt like God is like, man, this is how we shine as believers. This is how we glorify God. This is how we show people what Jesus is like. You know, he always went for the people that we never suspected, the Samaritan woman or the children or the prostitute, you know, the tax collector, the sinners. He always went out and loved against all culture and all stereotypes. And it's just like, wow, this is how we evangelize. This is how we show the hope of glory, by loving like Jesus. And I thought, I actually printed out the lyrics to the song. You know the song, they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. I'm not going to sing it, but
you just did. It sounded great.
Oh, yeah, right? but if you wouldn't mind, I just wanted to end with just reading the lyrics to this song.
Yeah.
It's not long. It is so powerful. So it says, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each other's dignity and save each other's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Mm. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Wow.
Wow.
Powerful lyrics.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing. That's what we need. 1 Corinthians, God's love, essentially, right? Because that's God's love, not our love, but God's love. Portrayed. And then, the lyric. Who, remind me, who's the author of that song, in case someone wants to look that up?
I have no idea. idea. It's a famous hymn, right?
Okay, because the one we were listening to this morning, was probably redone, right?
That was a remake of it. That was Jars of Clay.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of. Okay.
I mean, tons of people have redone it, but I'm sorry. I don't know who the original author is, actually.
No, that's fine. I'm just curious. No, the lyrics are great, just in case people want to go on Spotify or YouTube or whatever and listen to that after the... I'm going to go listen to it again after this, but thanks for sharing that. Well, Crystal, this has been amazing, super helpful, insightful. Love how you broke down some tips and some practical things that we can be doing, and just even your perspective of seeing hope in such a painful, hurting time of grief and whatever, but yet you're seeing hope conversations arrive, not just on Zoom, but literally, you know, in the community, people coming up and not necessarily even people that are Christians, but just like, yeah, we need to talk about racism. See the hope in the church, and that's amazing. So thank you for sharing with us. If you found this helpful, I find this helpful. Obviously, I knew some of the questions, but I didn't know all the content, and some of the questions, obviously, I didn't know as well as I could have. But this has been really helpful for me. I love how you broke some of this down. I haven't heard the content yet, so this is super good. If you have found this helpful, you can share this on, if you're on Facebook, feel free to share this on your Facebook page. If you're watching on YouTube, you want to send the link around. I think these kind of conversations are crucial at this time to continue just to show that, hey, you can address real conversations that are really difficult to talk about, like you mentioned, Crystal. But you also can do it in a hopeful, Jesus solution-only way, right? Mm-hmm. And so how to have both of that together, I think, is really awesome. So thank you, Crystal, for sharing. Once again, if you... we're not with us last week. We started another conversation on racial reconciliation with Phil Clark. That was episode 6. You can watch it on Facebook or YouTube. That was gold as well.
That man is amazing. Has given him so much wisdom.
Lots of wisdom. Yeah, if you have not watched yet, I would highly recommend that if you could take 40 minutes sometime this week and watch that, you will be just blown away by the wisdom that God's given Bill, a really timely wisdom. And it's very hopeful and truthful, honest, talking about real issues, but in a way that, yeah, Jesus is our hope and our solution. Crystal did mention as well during this talk that about the message from Sunday. So Crystal and I got the tag team a message. And so if you're interested in that, if you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can watch that. The entire Church Online services are recorded, and you can check that out. Also, if you look us up on iTunes or podcasting, New Hope Community Church, you also can listen to the podcast of that message. It'll probably be posted later today or tomorrow. Well, before we close, Crystal, do you mind just praying for those who are watching live and then also the recording as a way to wrap up before we wrap up our time together?
Yeah, sure, sure. Lord, I'm so blown away by you.
Mm-hmm.
I just love your word, God, because it gives us such a beautiful picture of who you are. And then because of you, who we should be as Christians, God, as mini Christ or as little Christians, God. Oh, God, this love that I'm reading about in 1 Corinthians 13, it's incredible, God.
Yes.
And Lord, I want to live my life like this. And I know those that are listening today would probably agree that we want to live a life of love.
Mm-hmm.
We want to glorify you by the way that we love, by the way that we reach out, by the way that we're unafraid of what's different or what's not culturally acceptable, Lord. And so, God, I pray that you would fill us with supernatural love, God, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, because only in abiding in you, only in reading your word, only in walking in step with your Spirit can we love this way. So, God, I pray that you would fill us today, God, and that we would shine so bright, mm-hmm. that people would say, now, I know that that's a Christian by the way that they love.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get to know their maker. Yes, I want to get to know their creator. I want to get to know Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would glorify you by our lives and by our love. And I do pray for meaningful, beautiful relationships, mm-hmm. God.
God,
lead us to people that are different from us, not just white and black, but in general, people that are different from us, so mm-hmm. that we can grow and learn and be enriched and gain perspective and really learn more about you, God. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Facilitate that, we pray, and I pray that we would be open to it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Great prayer.
More squeaky over there.
What's that? I know, I'm squeaky. I gotta stop moving in this chair, otherwise I'll keep hearing that. But yeah, thank you, Crystal, for taking the time. And I know, really full day and with little ones and everything, you know. So appreciate
I'm just glad they didn't come in. You know,
yeah, like I was thinking that. I was like, we're about to see Peter, Josh, or Grace just jumping in this, which would be fun, but be kind of a different content. So thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being open and transparent. And it really takes a lot of courage just to mention, you know, just what's going on, like how you're feeling on the inside, and then being able to communicate it so well that in a way that brings hope to a very difficult situation. So thank you once again. And thank you for those who are watching live and the recording. Once again, this is episode 7 of Hope Chats. Hope you've been encouraged. If so, share this with someone today. Build someone up. And we look forward to connecting with you next week as we continue our series on Hope Chats. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye.